Welcome to the podcast of Pastor Joseph Castillo from All Nations International Fellowship. Enjoy this podcast while you're doing household chores, riding your car, or even your morning devotions. I trust the living word of God to change your life forever. Visit us online at www.anifbeijing.com. In the last few years, many things have transpired. I don't know about you guys, but I watch the news, and I watch the world, and I watch the prophets. I've been following prophets for years, and namely Kim Clement, one of my favorite. But I've been following him for years and following some of the major voices for years. And I've also been following politics and the news very closely. Sometimes I watch the news to 2 in the morning. I'm just watching the news, or watching the prophets' teachings and prophecies. And I'm just very like the, I like to have my finger on the pulse of the earth. And, you know, we are in a shift nowadays. We are in a major shift, and the effects of this shift are being felt around the world like a shockwave. And it reminds me of an author who was writing something in the I read years ago about Pentecostals. It might have been Time Magazine or something. They were talking about Pentecostals. And they said that Pentecostals are quite different from other Christians because Pentecostals can feel the earth turning underneath their feet. And I laughed because I thought, wow, what a great way to describe Pentecostals. Because, you know, when I'm, you know, connected to the Spirit of God, it's like I can feel the earth turning. I like what Nellie's mother said. Nellie's mother never been to a Pentecostal church before. And when she sat in our church, she leaned over and told Nellie, she said, I feel like any minute now something in here is about to explode. Do you guys ever feel that way in a prayer meeting or in a worship service or church? You just feel like something's about to blow up. And she's feeling something. Amen. And what we're feeling, and what we're feeling is we're feeling the Spirit of God, what He's doing, that He's moving in the earth and in our lives. And we're feeling the release of God groaning to give birth to something great and something powerful. And we are in the most powerful season in human history. We are in the last of the last times, the greatest season in human history. We are blessed to be alive these days. Amen. And I don't just mean because some blessed brother invented the air conditioner. Every summer in Beijing, somebody posts a picture of the guy who invented the air conditioner. And it says, like, thank God for this man. I'm not religious, but I thank God for this man. You know, the guy who invented the AC. I don't mean because the AC, but I mean because we get to be a part of God wrapping this thing up. We get to be a part of the greatest thing that God is going to do, the last chapter of the book. Amen? I don't know about you, but some of us, like me, when I read a book, I often just skip to the last chapter. I want to see what, you know, just, let's get to the point of this thing, amen? And we are the last chapter people. We are guys born in the time to give birth to the point of all these things that transpired for millenniums, amen? But this season belongs to two kinds of people. Number one, it belongs to the seers. Can you say this with me, the seers? Number one, it belongs to the seers, people who can see and can discern the times. Jesus said, how can you look and not be able to discern the times and the season that we're in? You can say, you know, this many months comes the harvest, and look, you know, you can look at the things and know when the harvest is coming, know when it's going to rain. He said, how could you not discern the spiritual times? This season belongs to the seers. And the important thing about seeing is we understand that we don't see with our eyes, we see through our eyes. And we don't hear with our ears, we hear through our ears. We can have 50 people in one room, I can give a message, or I can have 800 people in a room, give a message, and many people will all hear totally different things. Because we don't hear with our ears, we hear through our ears. And we don't see with our eyes, we see through our eyes. We see things transpire according to something else. Do you hear me? I remember we had a guy in our church his wife was doing some prophecies in the middle of the service, and one usher happened to walk back towards the back of the room, maybe to grab his coffee or something, I don't know. But he saw that I whispered to the usher to go stop him, and he thought the usher was coming to get him. He totally saw a totally fake scenario based upon some other kinds of feelings and emotions that was not even a reality. Because we don't see with our eyes, we see through our eyes. Do you hear me? So this season belongs to people who can see and discern the season. And one of the greatest stories that just really drives home to me is I preached many times about this guy that was took a boat trip from England to America. And this guy was very hungry. He only had enough for the ticket. And as he was 2 or 3 days into this ride across the ocean all the way to America, he was just starving. And he was eating scraps from the trash can. And he saw this one waiter carrying a big, large plate full of plates of food from the buffet that people didn't finish the dishes. And he said, "Excuse me, sir, could I have some of those cakes on those plates?" And the guy said, "Well, let me see your ticket." He said, "Well, I don't have, I just bought the minimum ticket, you know, because I don't have any money." And so, but he says, "Let me see your ticket." So he gives the waiter his ticket, and the waiter says, "Sir, your ticket entitles you to a free buffet, breakfast, lunch, dinner on the entire trip to America." But the only reason why this man was not partaking of the benefits of that ticket that he had was because he didn't see, he didn't perceive, and he didn't understand the rights that he had, the things that were privileged to him. And in the same way, for us in this generation, if we don't see and perceive what God is doing, we will not walk in these things. We will not possess these things. We will not have these things. Though they be good, though they be great, we will see other people in our left and our right with breakthrough, with miracles, with promotions, with advancements and blessings, and we will see them, but we will not partake of them. So we must be seers. Do you hear me? Number two, thank you. We have to be those who operate in a culture of honor. Can somebody say honor, please? Honor is very important. What you honor, you attract into your life. And I'm not talking about some new age, The Secret, you know, those kind of occult books. We don't believe in that. That's garbage. It's demonic. But there is something about honor. What you honor, what you respect, you attract into your life. If you disrespect healing ministries, for example, one famous one people like to hate is Benny Hinn. If you disrespect healing ministries, then you probably are not going to walk in a great healing anointing, because you dishonor it. And now you can maybe disagree, but to dishonor will cut out of your life something that you can be walking in. If you dishonor Creflo Dollar because his last name is Dollar. I know a lot of people don't know who he is, but he's a preacher in America, and his real name is Dollar. Well, people talk about him, and they call him names, and I've heard people say all he talks about is money. And I said, that's funny, because I've listened to that man for many years. And I learned about marriage with him. I've learned about exposing the spirit of lust from him. I learned about the anointing. I learned about the 9 gifts of the spirit. I've learned about all kinds of things. I've learned character and how to raise your children. Creflo Dollar has such a wide variety of teaching subjects. One of the most balanced ministers that I've heard in America. Well, people don't know that. They just see he has a big church and his last name is Dollar. So they begin to judge him. And what happens is when you dishonor people because of prosperity, then you will also drive the spirit of prosperity out of your own life. So we have to have a culture of honor. I was with some pastors one time. And they were saying, like, well, you know, they were so anti-preacher. Anytime you mentioned a preacher, they would say, well, hey, let's not worship men, and let's not worship preachers. And, okay, let's just talking about this man of God, that man of God. That sounds cultish. And they were just so dishonoring. And the fact was, is they were just insecure in themselves, and they just didn't want anyone else to be greater than them. But Lester Summerall taught my pastor, Dr. Rob Parsley, he said, you have to honor greatness. If you want to be great, you have to honor greatness. And Dr. Summerall always honored great people, no matter who they were. He stood up and shook their hand, and he treated them with dignity and honor. Because if you want to be great, you have to honor greatness. Do you hear me? So we have to operate in a culture of honor. We have to have a culture of honor. When Edgar Bailey was here with me, I washed his feet. He liked sausages, salamis, cheddar cheese, crackers, butter cookies, and coffee. So I went to the market and I spent about $80 on sausages, cheese, crackers, coffee, and I was feeding him crackers, sausages, coffees, and cheese 24 hours a day. Amen. I kept his coffee cup full from morning to night, kept refilling it with hot, fresh coffee. You know, when it came nighttime, I helped him take off his trousers. I tucked him in bed, and I honored the man of God, and I served the man of God. And in 93 years of his life and many years of ministry in great stadiums and miracles all over the world, when he came time for his last couple years, he chose only one person to pass his mantle to, and that was to me. A culture of honor and honoring things that are from God will bring them into your life. If you make fun of angelic visitations and people who talk about seeing angels and you make fun of them and tease them, you'll never have angelic visitations. So if you make fun of people that operate in great signs and wonders and you say this manifestation, that manifestation is not from God, then you'll never have those manifestations in your ministry. We have to have a culture of honor if we want to walk in all the things that God has for us. Do you hear me? But I'm on assignment this spring, this 2018. I call it spring because China calls it spring. Amen. For me in America, spring starts like April, May, but in China it's like January, February, springtime. Amen. But I'm on assignment this spring, which spans from North America all the way here to Asia here in the Far East. And you know what's interesting is that today we got news of the passing away of Stephen Hawkins. He is the demonic apostle of atheism. When Billy Graham went to heaven, the entire body of Christ shifted into a new season ordained by heaven. Now, if you notice this new season ordained by heaven culminated with Billy Graham's death, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. But you remember just several months ago, there were signs in the heaven. The Revelation chapter 12 sign in the heaven was in the heaven. It was taught about all throughout the body of Christ, everywhere from Singaporean pastors to Australians to parsley. Everyone was noticing these stars in the heaven, miracles happening on the earth, signs in the heavens, and it's culminated not only with the 70th anniversary of Israel, but there was earthquakes happening. You guys remember that, right? There was earthquakes happening, some of the worst earthquakes ever known in American history and in Mexican history. And all these things were coming to fruition, capped off in this new year by the passing of Billy Graham. But let me tell you something. The latter, Billy Graham's death, ushered us into a new season ordained by heaven. The latter, Stephen Hawking, reaching a far worse fate than Billy Graham. And something that came in my spirit today, and I'll just prophesy it tonight. I prophesy with the death of Stephen Hawking, the death of atheism as we know it. Amen. And I'm going to tell you in a minute why I prophesy that. Okay? I do not intend to only parrot prophetic words given to the world over these last 10 or 14 years, but rather I intend to remind those who have heard these words. Some of you may have heard these words. Some people listening may have heard these words. I want to remind you of these words so you can see it, because you can't receive something that you don't see. So I need to remind you of these words, and also I want to educate those here and listening to me anywhere you are on these words that were given by men of God all across the world spanning 14 years, because these words, these prophetic words, are going to be made flesh right now. The word made flesh. There's a tangible anointing, a tangible manifestation that's released right now that we can walk in through faith. Amen. Let me begin to show you some of these words. First, we have Bob Jones. Bob Jones has a very powerful prophetic ministry. He's kind of the father of the prophets. He was a contemporary prophet. His prophecies spanned over 3 decades. As the Lord enabled him to foretell earthquakes, tidal waves, comets, weather patterns, like Daniel, who functioned in an incredible level, Bob has often told leaders their dreams and experiences as well as the interpretation. Funny, I was listening to Sid Roth today. Sid Roth said he got Bob Jones' number, called Bob Jones, wanted to interview him. And when he called Bob Jones, Bob Jones said, "Where are you from, son?" He said, "Oh, I'm from Washington, D.C. He said, "Well, I can't talk long because the Lord told me somebody's about to call me from Fort Weathersird, whatever, Maryland." That's where Sid Roth was born. And he said, no, I'm working in D.C., but I was born in that. That's me. Bob Jones was such an accurate prophet. There's at least a dozen guys that I've heard that when they met them, Bob Jones already told them their name and said, "You're so-and-so. I was waiting to meet you. God said I would meet you today right here at this park," whatever. Dozen people. Sid Roth was one of them. Bob Jones gave a very powerful prophecy years ago. He said, "When Billy Graham goes home, it will release the next great wave." Somebody say next great wave. "A wave of power evangelism like the world has never seen, and it will bring in the greatest harvest of souls." Amen. Bob Jones also prophesied, and it's a very famous prophecy that's taught and preached about all over the world, about a billion soul harvest. He said, "Everyone born in the 70s onwards are candidates to walk in the billion soul harvest ministry." And he said that this is the generation of those who are going to see a billion soul harvest. We are in that generation. Amen. Let's take a look at Hank Kuhneman. Hank Kuhneman, according to Dr. Oral Roberts, was, by his own words, the greatest prophet he had ever met. And Kuhneman prophesied and was the prophet to Oral Roberts. He was recently on the Sid Roth show. He has a church in America. He was actually at the camp meeting I was at recently a few months ago in July with Parsley, prophesied over Parsley and so forth. Frank Kuhneman said this, "For as Methuselah was in his day in old age, he was a sign that a flood would come. The Spirit of God says, my angels are waiting to welcome my servant Billy Graham. So as Methuselah was a sign in his old age that at his death a flood would come, so are the angels awaiting for my servant Billy Graham. This is a sign to the world and to the earth, to this nation and to the earth, for when the sound comes from my throne to welcome my servant, a reformation shall begin. Satan is afraid of the movement. The angelic hosts are ready at my command, for very soon I will tell you of a telegram. For as Methuselah was in his day, in old age, a sign that a flood would come, the Spirit of God says, my angels are waiting to welcome my servant, Billy Graham. This is a sign unto this nation and the earth, for when the sound comes from my throne to welcome my servant, a reformation shall begin upon the earth." I'm here to tell you today, and I'm not just here to parrot a prophetic word, but I'm here to educate you, because if you can't see it, you can't step into it, and you can't walk in it. Do you hear me? And we are in the beginning of a reformation that's taking place in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. So you have to understand something today. When we talk about spiritual things, we're not talking about some kind of metaphorical, theological, kind of Christian cute saying. We're talking about something that's real and powerful, world-changing, life-altering. We're talking about a tangible anointing. And if an anointing is tangible, that means that the anointing is also transferable. Okay? That reminds me of that story when Smith Wigglesworth was preaching at this one city, and he stayed in this woman's bed, and her and her husband gave the bed to the man of God. They honored him. Remember, we said you have to have a culture of honor. They gave the bed to the man of God. They slept on the sofa or whatever. And when it came time for Smith Wigglesworth to leave, remember, the anointing is tangible. She said, "Prophet, you can't go because my husband's still not saved." And he looked to the woman, and he said, "Just don't change the sheets." Now, that might sound spiritual now, but he might have farted in those sheets, drooled on those pillows. Amen? But the anointing is not only tangible, but it's transferable. It's real. We're not talking about some super spiritual hocus-pocus, you know, Christian myth stuff. And when that man went to bed that night on those same sheets that Smith Wigglesworth slept on, That man woke up 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning screaming and crying. And he woke up his wife and he was pouring sweat. He said, I'm on fire. I'm on fire. I'm on fire, honey. Turn the heat off. Turn the heat off. She said, that's the fires of hell. And she said, Smith Wigglesworth told me not to change the sheets because God was going to visit you. And he said, if this is what hell feels like, then I want to be saved. And he got saved right there that night. Amen. Lived his life to become a Christian guy. The anointing is tangible and is transferable. The anointing in Isaiah 10:27, we understand, is burden removing. It's yoke destroying. I define it as God's power upon our human flesh to do what only God can do. It's tangible. You could touch it, taste it, feel it, and it's transferable. Do you hear me? I'm going to share with you a photo of my spiritual grandfather, Dr. Lesha Summerall, here. And he's here with Billy Graham on the set of his TV show. They were great friends. And, you know, in essence, Billy Graham told Lester, he basically told him, you've mentored me. He said, I've read all your books. And Dr. Summerall said, well, I got those books from the Holy Spirit. He said, now, wait a minute, Brother Summerall. I believe in the Holy Spirit, too. I also speak in tongues. He said, how do you think that I filled up all those stadiums? I filled up those stadiums by praying in tongues. And then Brother Summerall said, well, how come you never talk about it? You never teach it? I didn't know that. He said, because that's not my calling. My calling is to preach the cross, salvation, repentance. But your calling is to preach on the Holy Spirit and teach on the gifts of the Spirit and teach the church on the Spirit. He said, that's your calling. Mine is different. If I start teaching on that, I'll lose half of my audience. Keep doing what you're doing, Brother Summerall. Amen. The anointing of God is tangible. The anointing of God is transferable. I remember a story of Dr. Rod Parsley. He was at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And there was a campaign going on there at Oral Roberts University, and Brother Summerall took Parsley there. And Oral Roberts was out of town that weekend. Oral Roberts was actually boarding his plane. He was boarding his plane because he was going to be preaching a campaign in another state. And while they were sitting there, they were sitting next to the curtain. Say, here's the curtain. And there was, you know, Rod Parsley was here and Lester Summerall was here. And then there's more chairs. And there were other preachers sitting on the platform. And while they were sitting there, Lester reached over, put his hand upon Rod Parsley's knee. And it startled Rod Parsley. And Rod turned to Lester. He said, what's going on? He said, do you feel that? He said, feel what? He said, put your hands on your belly. So Rod Parsley put his hands on his stomach, and he felt something moving around in his stomach. And Parsley got nervous because this is the man that cast the devil out of a woman in Billy Bid prison and led 60,000 people to Christ. He thought there's some kind of spirit in him manifesting because in his belly became bloated and something began to move in his stomach. And Lester said, that's the healing anointing. It's tangible. It's a substance. That's the healing anointing you're feeling moving around in your belly. Oral Roberts is in the building. And Rod said, no, he's not. He's at the airport. He's going to preach outside of the town. He said, no, he's not here today. He has to go. That's why we're here doing the meeting. And he said, he's in the building. The healing anointing is in the building. He's here. And as soon as Lester finished his sentence, Oral Roberts was a very tall, I have a picture of him here, you'll see later on. He's a very tall man, with slender and tall, and very long legs. And he said Oral's long pant leg reached out from behind the curtain, stepped out into the platform, went to the MC, grabbed the microphone, and he said, the Lord told me to come back here because the healing anointing is here, and he's going to heal the sick tonight. Hallelujah. The healing anointing is tangible. And it's transferable. Amen. The healing power of God. Do you hear me? 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9 through 18 says this, and it shall come to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Notice he didn't ask for the mantle or for the anointing. He said, I want to double. I want to increase and multiply. Do you hear me? Amen? Amen. He says, I want it doubled. I want more than what you had. Hallelujah. A double portion of your spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me. Remember what I said. This releasing, this shifting, this mantling that God has released in the earth is to two people. One, to the people who see. Say see. And the two, to the people who honor. He said, if you see me. He wasn't talking about the natural eyes, because if he's with him, of course he's going to see him taken away. The whole world that saw Billy Graham go, the whole world on Facebook and CNN and ABC and BBC for about 3-4 weeks, the whole world watched Billy Graham go to heaven. But only those who can see what really transpired are going to be the ones that are going to walk in what this means. Do you hear me? If you see me, when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, so for those who are hearing my preaching, and I'm preaching this in Manila, I preach this in Nanjing, I'm preaching it here, and I'm going to be preaching all over Canada and everywhere I go for the next few months. There's always going to be people where I'm at that hear these sermons and think it's just religious talk. They're not going to benefit from this at all. But if you can hear me and you can see me and you want it and you take of it, you will have miracles. There's one guy sent me a message a couple days ago. I gave him this word, and within 24 hours, his tuition was supernaturally paid. People were healed in the meeting. People in the meeting last when I was in Nanjing, all over the room were falling down in the power of God. No one even touched them. The revival went on. It was a 2-hour Sunday morning service. It went on for 7 hours. Nobody wanted to leave the place. Demons are coming out all over the room. Miracles were happening. And I didn't even have to touch people. It just began to happen all over the room. One lady sent me a message. She said, I just got to the end of the message. And while I was still speaking, didn't even start praying yet, she began to speak in tongues. Didn't even believe in tongues. She began to speak in tongues, and she spoke in tongues. I put the testimony on my WeChat. She spoke in tongues nonstop for 3 hours. So those of you who can believe this tonight, and you can receive it tonight. And that's why I said I have to give this to my church tonight. It's not fair that I go and release this to somebody else, and my church don't get a chance to partake of this. Do you hear me? And it says here, and it shall come to pass, as they went on, and they talked, to behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. And he also took up also the mantle of Elijah. Say the mantle of Elijah. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he went back, and he stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and the Bible says that he took that mantle, and he went to the same river where he had earlier crossed, where earlier in the chapter, Elijah took his mantle and smote the rivers. So he took the mantle, came back to the same river, and he smote the rivers, and he said, where is the God of Elijah? I do the same thing when the blind people come up to me for healing. I cry out to God, where is the God of Edgar Bailey? Edgar Bailey stuck his thumbs in a Chinese lady's eye sockets that had no eyeballs. And within 30 seconds, two brand new eyeballs began to form like pools of water spinning in her eyes, black water spinning in her eyes. And within 2 or 3 minutes, she had two brand new eyeballs. She began to scream as she was totally and completely healed. And when people come to me for healing for eyes and blindness, I put my thumb in their eyes and say, where is the God of Edgar Bailey? Because you can't just receive a mantle. If you believe you receive it, at some point you have to withdraw and put a demand on it. We're going to get there in a minute. Do you hear me? He took the mantle, smote the waters, said, where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets were in view at Jericho, they saw him, and they said, The spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. It's tangible. When it comes on you, it's tangible. People can see it. I've gotten anointings on me where people have when I've come to new place. I remember I got a new anointing. I was in Bible college, and I was got a new anointing. And I came back to Chicago, and my sisters and my friends, and everyone was like, you look different because it's tangible. And I said, well, I didn't physically look anything different, but there was a new glory on me. Remember, Jesus was so transformed that when he rose from the dead and he was walking with his disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't even recognize him because he was so transformed by the glory of God. Do you hear me? The glory of God will make a fat man look sexy. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? Amen. It'll take an older man, make him look young and sprung. Hallelujah. Amen. The anointing of God, when it comes upon you, it changes. And they saw that he was with Elisha. They saw the spirit doth rest on Elisha. The spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha. In the New Testament, we see that they took note that they had been with Jesus, the disciples. It was the same thing. They saw the spirit of Jesus on Elijah. On the disciples. And here, the sons of the prophets saw the glory, the anointing, the power, the presence of Elisha was on Elisha. But to their surprise, it was not only on him, but it was a double portion. Amen. I do not intend just to parrot the prophet's words, but what I intend to do tonight and what God has assigned me to do throughout the world this next couple of months is to facilitate a tangible transfer, to preach this thing till you can see it, to preach this thing till you can believe it, and facilitate a tangible transfer. When we talk about the anointing, the power of God, we have to understand that it's for a purpose. A woman by the name of Billy Brim, her husband was in bed. She didn't want to wake him up, and she went into the bathroom, and she was praying over the toilet seat. And she was like, God, give me the anointing, God. Send the anointing upon me, God. And she cried out to God over the toilet seat. And God said to her, Billy, does the toilet need a healing? She said, no. Does the toilet need a word of knowledge? She said, no. He said, don't pray for the anointing on the toilet. Go out there into the highways, to the byways, to the streets, to the mission, to the old folks' homes, to the prisons, and there pray for the anointing. Amen. The anointing is not just so you can have fuzzy feelings in your prayer time. I feel the anointing the greatest when I'm ministering. And that's whether I'm in a pulpit or that's whether I'm on the street preaching to the homeless. I feel the greatest anointing when I'm ministering. The anointing is not just for us to come inside and have church, but it's to minister to others. Do you hear me? So we understand that gifts of the Spirit do not operate 24 hours a day. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom, the nine gifts, gifts of healing, they don't operate 24 hours a day. They come individually as the Spirit wills when you're ministering to people. Do you hear me? But we can go from walking in gifts of the Spirit to walking into an open heaven. Let's look at slide number 8 here. Amen. Jesus walked in an open heaven. Isaiah 11:2, prophesying of Jesus, said that the seven spirits of God abiding upon him are these. It says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest. Somebody say rest. Somebody say abide. Not come and go as he's ministering, but Jesus walked in an open heaven. He walked in an abiding. He walked in a resting. He walked in a 24 hours a day open access to heaven. And the dimension that we're being shifted into right now is a time where we used to pray by faith. We used to operate by the anointing, and that was good. I've heard it said the anointing is for the earth realm. The anointing, you lay hands and they're healed. But we're moving into an open heaven season where we no longer have to lay hands, where we no longer have to pray for people, and that open heaven mantling, abiding of the Spirit of God upon us, while I'm yet speaking, people can be healed. While I'm yet speaking, people can be delivered and set free. While I'm here speaking, people will fall down and demons come out of people in the power of God. And I've been seeing this everywhere I go because I receive it by faith. Amen. Amen. But it's going to increase, and it is increasing. Hallelujah. The word of the Spirit of the word of wisdom. Amen. Let's look at these. The Spirit of the Lord, number one, resting upon him, abiding upon him. The Spirit of wisdom, resting upon him, abiding upon him. The Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, that's for mighty works. The Spirit of knowledge, that's revelation knowledge. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits, the seven spirits of God, the menorah, the seven spirits of God. Another place in the Bible calls this the eyes of the Lord. Another place in the Bible calls the seven spirits of God the eyes of the Lord. And what do you know about the eyes of the Lord? That the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro, seeking somebody that he can show himself strong through. So the eyes of God are looking for people who will receive the mantle so that God himself can use them as a vessel of open heavens and glory and power and signs and wonders and miracles so God can show himself strong. My wife and I saw today, you have to see it, there, this just happened a year ago when the sign began in the heavens. It was the seventh day after Donald Trump was inaugurated, it began. And what happened was, this man's Bible, he's had to hide his name, hide his address, and hide his phone number. Because it's such a miracle. Millions of people around the world are contacting him. His Bible began from Psalms 39, it began to leak oil. And I don't mean a little oil. I mean tons of oil, literally tons, metric tons of oil are pouring out of his Bible. As you could turn, it's on the news, it's on YouTube, it's all over. You can see videos, and they put his Bible up, and there's a mega church. They have his Bible on the front in a big bucket, and while the service is going on, the whole bucket fills up with oil. Then they put another bucket, fills up with oil. And God told him, give the oil away for free, and I'll always refill it. And for about a year now, coming on 1 year this March, it's kept pouring oil, 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 oil. So it's such a phenomenon that scientists have come to this city to check the oil, to look at the Bible. None of his Bible has highlighting and pen marks on it. None of the highlighted pen marks are faded. The binding is not loose. The Bible and the pages are still strong and sturdy. And now the oil has moved from Psalms 39, now it's pouring out of the book of Revelation. So it's pouring out of the book of Revelation, this oil. So that God said, as long as you give it away for free, I'll keep giving it to you. So I sent them a message today. They're going to send me a bottle of oil here. But they say very clearly, please do not worship the oil. Please don't think it's magic oil. They said, it's just a sign that God is giving to the world that God is real. And they in stage 3 cancers, stage 4 cancers, people are taking this oil, praying for themselves, and they're being healed of terminal cancers all over the world. And they have videos of them because there's a documentary. It's a new documentary out called The Christian Something, Mystics or something like that. And this lady documented. She went there and interviewed him and documented, recorded him and everything. And when you put your fingertips in the oil, they had a bunch of people come and just in the church come up and put their fingertips in oil. The oil grows. It goes from their fingertips all up and down their arms. It just begins to spread all over them. The doctors, not the doctors, the scientists examined this oil. And this oil, they said, is like 94.34% like mineral oil. There's another 5 point something percent of properties that they've never seen in the earth before. But it's 94.34% mineral oil. And it's perfectly crystal clear. It's so clear that you didn't even see the oil because the bucket's very big. And the bucket's a clear bucket, and the Bible's in the bucket because the oil is pouring out of Revelations. And when they put their finger in it, you can see where the oil level is. But because it's so perfectly clear, this oil, that you see right through it, it looks like there's nothing in the bucket but a Bible. And the Bible is still in perfect condition. They can pick it up, open the pages, turn the pages. Nothing's loose. Nothing's running. It's just an incredible sign and wonder. But miracles like this, I mean, prophets nowadays, they're giving the people like Alex and Charlie Shamp, they're giving such accurate prophecies nowadays of dates and presidents and earthquakes and nations being born and just so accurate prophecies and miracles. It's to the point now when I'm preaching, I don't even have to lay hands on people anymore. They're just getting miracles. They're falling down. They're being healed. We're coming into a time of miracles in these last days that, like I said earlier today, atheism is seeing its last days. You could call it, You could call it the devil. You could call it witchcraft. You could call it whatever you want to call it. All right? But nobody will be able to deny the supernatural, because God is pouring out his spirit and doing miracles in such a mighty and a powerful way that nobody will be able to deny the existence of the supernatural world. Amen. And of course, we know that signs and wonders are there for us to point. Signs point to something. Signs tell you something. We are going to step in this flow of miracles simply that we could point to Jesus. Amen. Interesting that the death of Stephen Hawkins is right upon the death of Billy Graham. Weeks after the death of Billy Graham, amen? God says when Billy Graham dies, he's going to pour out his spirit all around the world. The last wave of a billion soul harvest is taking place in the earth, and the man who's represented atheists has died too. Amen. When I saw that today, I knew this was prophetic, amen? We're about to go from operating in gifts, operating in anointings, to living under an open heaven, to walking in mantles, to walking in open heavens. We're no longer waiting on the word of knowledge to heal the sick, but we're being clothed with the seven spirits of God so he can show himself strong through the earth. Amen? Now, I need to just tell you very quickly, what is a mantle? Because we can hear this kind of preaching and walk away without real understanding. You have to understand what a mantle is, especially if you're not a Pentecostal. You really need to understand what the theology of mantles are, because it could sound very, you know, mystic and spooky and whatever. But a mantle is simply the way the Holy Spirit operated in a particular vessel. It's not my scarf or my jacket, even though the anointing can rest upon that because it's transferable. Say it's transferable. It's tangible, amen, but a mantle is the way that God used somebody. So we see Billy Graham operating in the mantle of Catherine Kuhlman. What that means is the same flow of the Holy Spirit in Catherine Kuhlman is the same flow of the Holy Spirit that Benny Hinn operates in. The way God used Billy Graham to save souls, what I'm saying to you tonight, is the same energma. The Greeks are not here. Hallelujah. In the Greek, it's the word energma. E-N-E-R-G-E-M-A. For the word working. But to some, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to some administrations, there are different administrations, there are different workings. The word workings is energma, or it means the operations, or it simply means the way that the Holy Spirit is flowing through a ministry. So the way that the Holy Spirit flowed through Billy Graham is now accessible to not a person, but to an entire generation. Do you hear me? Choosing a successor was not the will of God for Billy Graham, because what Billy Graham had on his life, God wants to pass into an entire generation. Turn here to the next slide, slide number 10. Honor the mantle. Number one, I have five keys here. If you skip one of these keys, you'll miss it. You have to do all five of these, and you have to do it purposely. Number one, honor the mantle. Elijah said that as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave you. But you're old, but you're grumpy, but you're not nice, but you don't treat me good, but you teased me. He said, I don't care what you do to me, I'm not going to leave you. Bible scholars say that Elijah was a grumpy old man. When the kids teased him and called him an old bald head, he called a bear out of the woods to kill those children. They say that Elijah was hard to deal with. He was a tough old man, like Edgar Bailey. Hallelujah. A lot of people around the world didn't like Edgar Bailey because they got in fights and strife and arguments with this grumpy old man. Hallelujah. But Elisha refused to be offended, and he said, as long as you live and as long as my soul lives, I will not leave you. Honoring the mantle. Do you hear me? I don't care what star hotel Benny Hinn stays at on his offerings. I don't care. I honor the mantle. I honor the way God uses him. Not everything in his life, because nobody's perfect, but I honor the mantle. Number two, serve the mantle. Elisha served the mantle. If I could serve in any way, if I could usher, if I could volunteer, if I could sow a seed, sometimes I'd just send $20. It's not a lot for you, but it's a lot for me sometimes. If I could just send $20 to a ministry that has a powerful anointing, because I just want to serve the mantle, amen. Number three, see it. I said it to you before. See it or perceive it. The seer realm, this is an important part of this prophecy. The seer realm has been released on a mass scale. When I was in Nanjing, Weifang, Hefei, hundreds of people were having visions. Jesus was appearing in people's rooms. The seer realm has been released on a mass scale. Those of you that have not had visitations, those of you who have not experienced encounters with God, it's being poured out right now. Let me tell you, it's being poured out right now. We've heard stories before of Muslims seeing Jesus and Muslims being converted, and that's almost become folklore. It's now becoming such a common thing. It's going to be happening. We're going to be walking in visions, in dreams, and dream realms, and visions, open heavens. I was in a church a couple days ago where the people there saw two angels standing behind me. Atheism is gone. Unbelief and doubt is gone. We are in a season where God is showing up so strong and so powerfully that we have to choose to be in it or not. Amen. The seer realm is released on a mass scale. Number four, the fourth thing he did was pick it up. And this is why I'm preaching this to you. This is why I'm recording it. This is why I'm preaching it in Manila and everywhere I go and all over Canada. And my job is to encourage you to pick it up. Hallelujah. To educate you on what God has said and done, not through me, but through other prophets, but encourage you to pick it up. Hallelujah. The mantle fell and he picked it up. And lastly, like I said earlier, after he picked up the mantle, he put a demand on it. The last thing that you have to do is put a demand, place a demand. This is what you do when you walk out of the door tonight. When you get up in the morning, you say, I want to see the open heavens. I want to see the miracles. I want to encounter God. I want to win souls in this city on my job. You have to place a demand on it, because you can have the mantle and you can be stuck from going over the river if you don't use it. So the only way that you're going to transition from who you are now to who you're going to be tomorrow morning is if you put a demand on what you receive tonight. So number one, you got to receive it by faith tonight. Number two, you have to put a demand on it. You have to go somewhere and do something and say, where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God of Billy Graham? I have this. Now I want to see this much more fruit in my life. Do you hear me? Notice Elijah was not content with his father's mantle. He wanted a double portion of his mantle. We are great because we're standing on other shoulders. Do you hear me? We should go farther because we're standing on somebody else's shoulders. Other people have pioneered, gotten revelations, taught and trained us. So we should be able to go farther and be better and do more powerful. And we should not apologize for it. Do you hear me? Likewise, true spiritual fathers are not insecure of the rise of the spiritual daughters, but they should nurture and guide them and expect them to do better and greater things. Next slide. Kim Clement, one of my favorite prophets, very sad he passed. He went to prophesy to Donald Trump in the Trump Tower, went up to the Trump Tower, told Donald President he's going to be the next president, came down the elevator and had a brain aneurysm and died. A few weeks later died, but he got struck with the aneurysm in the building of Donald Trump. Donald Trump has had great witchcraft across the world. Witches have come together and signed petitions to corporately curse him, if you don't know. You could look it up online. It's on the news. Kim Clement. He says the release of the gift of faith has been given to the people of God. He's prophesying. The release of the gift of faith has been given to the people of God. In the death of Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. Say double. The death of Billy Graham and the death of Oral Roberts. A veil shall be torn that shall bring evangelism to the earth as never before. The departure of a great man that shall release an acceleration. This is the word God gave us before Billy Graham passed. God said rapid acceleration, rapid harvest, rapid recovery, rapid breakthrough, acceleration. This is the word we got in New Year's Eve. The departure of great men shall release an acceleration. We are right in the middle of the word of God. Do you hear me? upon this nation and upon the church, who shall see the Lord in a way, and salvation shall be in the order of the day, in the streets, in the factories, on the buses, on the trains, and in the planes. God says, I'm about to take over the marketplace, and you are the people that shall bring it to pass, says the Lord. Billy Graham, I am calling you to be with me, that number one, the earth may see the Lord in a greater way. For your death will not bring about tears, but your death will bring about an unveiling. Remember I said the opening of the eyes, the seer realm? Your death shall bring an unveiling of the Lord high and lifted up. The anointing of Isaiah. Two, your death shall bring the raising up of great evangelists of this time, says the Lord of hosts. As it comes to pass, as soon as Oral and Billy come to me, I will take these, Oral Roberts and Billy Graham, and I will anoint the earth with a gracious, gracious double portion. Double portion Billy Graham, double portion Oral Roberts. That's double, double. Say it with me, double, double. Isn't that interesting that the song we began this year with every Sunday was double, 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 double. We were dancing on double, double, Lord, double, double, Lord. We had no idea what we were singing. We had no idea that we were prophetically singing and praising about a double, double. And God says when Billy Graham dies, he's releasing the double portion of Oral Roberts' mantle and the double portion of Billy Graham's mantle. Gracious, gracious, double portion. Billy Graham died at 99 years old. Double, 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 two nines. Why not 100? He was born 1917, died 2017. A few months from 100. Why didn't God live enough to 100? Because 99, 9 represents birthing, new things, new life, new things. Do you hear me? 99, double portion of new births, revival, new souls, a new move of God, a new great wave. His death was assigned to our generation just as much as the holy written word of God, Methuselah's death, was assigned to that generation. Do you hear me? Four, there shall be a cherubim and a seraphim. And there shall be activities in the heavenlies that will bring the children and the teenagers to a place where they will not stop fighting before they see the promise that was given to Billy Graham and that was given to Oral Roberts. In other words, number four says the reason why this generation is the one that can access it is because we're the ones that are going to put a demand on it. Bob Jones said that Billy Graham was not going to die back in the 90s. He said because the church of Jesus Christ was not ready. But this generation now, 20 years later, we are the generation ready. We are the ones that are going to say, I'm going to place a demand on it. I believe it, and I'm going to place a demand on it. And he says here that it shall be in this generation because, simply because, we are the people, the children and the teenagers. They're not going to give up. They're going to continue to fight until they see what God promised Billy Graham and Oral Roberts come to pass in their lifetime. There will be four great anointings that shall be released. Double, double. These are the double, double. These are the four great anointings. The anointing of Joseph. That's the coat of many colors, the favor, the blessing. Also remember the holiness. He did not compromise. He escaped fornication. Amen. He had favor. The anointing of Enoch. Remember, Enoch walked with God. Visitation, transportation. Chito Sanchez told me, he said he's told very few people, but he was translated several miles. He said he was just walking down the street, and God took him several miles. And he was also transported one time preaching from one place to another. He says, I tell very few people. Joshua Mills, famous evangelist in Canada, came to China preaching by transportation. God translated him here, and he preached in China. And Pastor Kang of the Korean Ordinary Church told me that Joshua Mills preached at his church. So I got to confirm with Pastor Kang, was there a flight or what happened? Because that might have been where he was translated to Pastor Kang's church right here in Wangjing preaching. He said he was in a big meeting with all, he was in China and there was just a room full of all Asian faces and he was just preaching to them. And when he got done, God took him out. Pastor Kang told me when he was here, gold dust was falling from his scalp and on his clothes and all over his hands. Gold dust was falling all over the platform. when Joshua Mills was here at the Unity Church here in Wangjing. What happened sporadically, once in a while, almost seemingly folklore if you were not there, is about to be released in mass scale. The anointing of Enoch. Number three, the anointing of Daniel. This is what I talked about when I began the message today. Seen. Daniel was a discerner of the times and the seasons. He was also a diplomat. He was also fearless. And he was an end timer. He prophesied about the end times. The anointing of Daniel. And the release of the anointing of Isaiah. I see the Lord, the seer realm. These are the four major anointings that you can mantle up tonight in these things. You could put them on, wear them, take it by faith, and put a demand on them tomorrow morning. Do you hear me? Or tonight. Hallelujah. Dependent. Hallelujah. Amen. Now I say those words from my Father, whom shall I send? Who shall go for us? Well, Kim Clement didn't say that. We just said that. I mean, amen. But that's what I said when I read that. I said, me, Lord. Just like you did. I said, me, Lord, I would, as I read this prophecy. We're going to end here on the billion soul harvest. Then we have to step into this tonight. We can't just hear this and go home and live life like normal. I'm not going to. I'm going to Paris tomorrow to go shake the nations of the world. God told me he would use me. He told me in 2006 he would use me for a revival amongst the French-speaking people that would shake the whole French world. And I'm going tomorrow, and I'm going to be on television Thursday night in France. No, Friday night in France on television. Here, Charlie Champ. This is what Charlie Champ said. He said, I want to be a part of the billion soul harvest that Bob Jones prophesied about. This was January 13th, 2018, 30 days before Billy Graham died. He was in North Carolina preaching. And he says this, I want to be a part of the billion soul harvest Bob Jones prophesied about. The Lord started speaking to me about a word, about a world famous evangelist from North Carolina. And he said, this is going to be hard for me to say. I'm not going to say his name, but he's a world-famous evangelist from North Carolina. I transcribed this myself because he didn't have it written down. I had to listen, and I had to write it down. Number one, he said, this is going to be the year that his mantle drops. 30 days before Billy Graham died, he said, this is going to be the year that his mantle drops, that the baton is going to be passed. Say with me here, Lord. You can have it. Amen. You can have it. And I want you to have it before anybody else. Amen. Number two, the Lord is going to release it to the really wild ones. Hallelujah. This mantle is going to be released to the real wild ones. Do you hear me? The mantle is not going to go to the polished, proper, 3 points in a poem preachers. He said, this mantle is going to be released to the radical revival culture. Amen. Hallelujah. It's our time. Hallelujah. And the Lord said that if you see him, my God, the same verbiage, the same wording, the same prophetic message from 1990-something with Bob Jones, Mark Chirona in like 2006, Benny Hinn, Greg Gill said when he was in Argentina, him and Warren Beamer were in Argentina with Benny Hinn. Benny Hinn in Argentina prophesied the same thing about Oral Roberts and Billy Graham in Argentina back in the 90s. And Greg Gill was there in attendance, him and Warren Beamer. Same verbiage, the same words of the Lord. If you see him when he goes, well, that's stupid. The whole world saw him. CNN, ABC, BBC is not talking about with your eyes. Do you hear me? If you see what's transpiring in the spirit realm, if you could discern it, if you could believe it, if you could let it be a reality in your life, if you see him when he goes, you can grab a hold of it and you can step into it. Hallelujah. So that's what I want you to do. I just told everyone that I've been having everyone to step into it by faith. Amen. And we've been literally standing up and literally just taking a step into it. Amen. As a prophetic act. So I'm going to encourage you guys to get up to do that tonight too. Amen. And I want you to step into it. I've stepped into it 4 or 5 times already. Hallelujah. Everywhere I'm going, I'm stepping into it and I'm believing it. Amen. I'm telling you, the evangelist anointing is so powerful that you can save souls without ever witnessing to people. People just start telling you their problems out of the blue. And just you're like, well, there is basically a fish jumping on my lap. It's a fish jumping on your lap anointing. Amen. That's what the evangelism anointing does. They just jump on your lap. I don't know why, but I just feel like I need to talk to you. And you know exactly why. And you don't care because you want to eat your noodles, whatever. But you know, hey, the harvest is there. Just reap the fish. Amen. Evangelism made easy. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? That's this anointing. Hallelujah. Billy Graham led from kings and popes to priests to presidents, led everyone to Christ. By the millions around the world. No one like him ever to live in the history of the world. And his mantle is now released to those that want to can see it and can receive it. But we have to step into it. So what we're going to do, I'm going to count to 3 and we're going to step into it. And I'm going to blow the shofar. And you're going to just take a step forward into it by faith. And when I blow the shofar, I just want us to praise and shout and give a shout of faith. And like Elijah said, where is the God of Elijah? Cry out to God and say, I want to see that mantle. I want to have it. I believe it. If you believe the words of the prophets, now I know there's people who don't believe in prophecies, but that's not this church here. Amen. We're the radical revival culture. We believe the word of God and we believe his prophets. The Bible says, believe his prophets and you shall prosper. Hallelujah. I believe the prophets, and I followed the prophets, and I followed the news, and I follow world events because I want to be on the very edge of what God is doing in the earth. And I might not be there yet, but you keep watching me. Amen. My name will be known around the earth as a guy who's on the edge of what God's doing in this earth because I keep my ear to the floor. Amen. Amen. And you can too, hallelujah. Let's step into it together. We're going to count to 3, and we're going to just take a step. You can take forward, back, whatever you want, but just take a step into it, obeying the word of the prophet. Step into it. And I'm going to blow the shofar. And when I blow the shofar, just give God the best praise that you can. Believe it, receive it, prophesy it in your life. Amen. Yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Give it to us, God. We're in China, the greatest population nation on the earth. We receive it. We ask you for the double portion, God. We want every ounce and every drop of it. Hey, God, we want every ounce. We want every drop of it. We want every ounce. We want every drop of it. The spirit of Enoch. The spirit, hallelujah, of Daniel, hallelujah. The spirit, Father God, of Isaiah, hallelujah. We want all 4 of these anointings, God. The seer anointing. The discerning anointing. The soul winning anointing, God. The favor anointing. The translation, transportation, the Enoch anointing, Father God. We want to be a part of the great signs and wonders. The great signs and wonders. Oh, miracles that have not been seen or heard before. Miracles that have not been dreamt of. Miracles that seem as fantasy and folklore. It's time for the sons of God to begin to demonstrate, to manifest, to be a river flowing, God. Oh, to be a river flowing from the holy place of glory. Signs, wonders, presence, God. Oh, God, move us to a place, God, where falling out in the spirit is not just for church services, but it's when we're in the grocery stores and when we're on the buses, God. People begin to fall in the power of God as we walk past them, God. As Peter's shadow passed the sick, God. Sicknesses were healed, God. Great miracles, great signs, great wonders, God. We receive it in Jesus' name. Yes. Yes. Oh, Ramashata Labo Shakalana Mashata. Because of the acceleration, because of the acceleration, because it's the last days, because time is short, old prayers that have been unanswered, old prayers that have been hindered and delayed, old blessings, old harvests, other things hindered and slowed up and seem to be blocked, they have to be released after you step in this anointing. They have to be released after you step into this anointing, because time, as we know it, can no longer wait. It is time to reap the harvest. It is time to shake the nations. It is time to fund the kingdom. It is time to move into our purpose. It is time to move into our destiny. We're going to be released tonight. We're going to be released when we step into it. We're going to be released into breakthrough, harvest, and restoration. Hallelujah. As we step into it tonight. Shine na mondo na mondo na mo shine la 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 I want us to shout three together. I'm going to blow the shofar. And when we get to three, I want you to take your biggest step forward possible and give God a shout of praise. Blow the shofar that God's given you in your chest. Hallelujah. And I'll blow this one from Jerusalem. Amen. Hallelujah. Give us a count.
We had to stop the recording at that point, but you might be listening right now and you say, Pastor Joey, I wanted to pray that prayer. If I was there, I would have prayed with you. I'd like to pray right now, as a matter of fact. I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ. I would like to have God in my life, and I'd like to know Jesus is my Savior and my Lord, and surrender my life to Him. You know, repentance means to turn away from your way of doing things and to turn to God's way. We've done things our own way, like they used to say in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. When I did the 12 steps, they said, your best decisions and your best ways of thinking and your best ways to handle life have gotten you to this situation. And now it's time to trust a higher power. Well, there is no higher power than the God of all the earth. His name is Jehovah. And He sent His Son Jesus to die for you. And through Him, you can turn from your way of doing things to His way. And His way is the right way, because He made you, and He made you for a purpose, and He knows exactly what you need to pull out your potential, to forgive you of your sins, deliver you from the things that keep you away from God in a sin and death cycle. And if you'd open up your heart to Him right now, together with me, God can begin a new work in your life. So just pray with me wherever you're at, whether you're driving your car, whether you're at home, wherever you are, just pray with me. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that your Son died for my sins. And on the third day, He was raised from the dead. From this day forward, I belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that prayer. I'd like you to contact me, and we can send you some more resources and materials that could help you start this new life, because this is the first day of the rest of your life. Email me at joe@nationsabroad.com. Or email the church at nfcontact@gmail.com. And we'd love to speak with you and just correspond with you and put you on the right path. Maybe help you find some local churches there online or something. Or maybe we know some pastors there that could follow up with you and help teach you the Word of God. Thank you for listening. And feel free to download the other podcasts and just feed on the Word of God.